ready. It's time for
Operation Late Night Excitement.
Top rated late night radio.
The awesomest night of all time.
After dark.
It's Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
You deserve a fun night.
On KMOX.
So I'm traversing the dangerous streets of downtown St. Louis after dark, all by myself. No, I'm not meeting Michael Kelly. We're not playing snooker. We're not getting together and breaking some chicken wings at KFC. No, I'm all alone. Why? Well, because Michael Kelly has chosen to get in an airplane and fly down to sunny Jupiter, Florida. But in the midst of his recreational endeavors, he is kind enough to join us for the next 2 hours right here on The Voice of St. Louis. Hello, Michael.
Well, hello, my friend. How are you?
Well, I miss you, man. I mean, yeah, I'm sitting here now. I got PJ, which is that's a plus. PJ's here. But I'm not I'm not looking over the whatever this thing is here, looking at you, because you're not here. You're there.
Yeah, I'm down here in Jupiter, Florida. I'm going to the baseball game tomorrow and going to go to the game on Thursday and Friday. And I'm going to weigh in and make sure the team's got it together. Difficult. I've noticed we've done a lot of signings recently I want to talk to you about later that's got some guys of some gray hair. And I figure that maybe I can get a contract.
No, not likely. But, you know, the thing is, while you're down there, I mean, you're going to have to do some work. So we're going to talk about this later. But I've got some very specific assignments for you to complete while you are away in Jupiter, Florida.
I appreciate that.
But I'm driving.
I was Sunday morning. Oh, good. Yeah, tell me about your morning.
My morning is fine, but I'm driving down here tonight, and I roll the window down as I'm getting off of Highway 40 on the 11th Street exit, and I've got the window down, and I'm taking in the smells of the city. And, you know, cities have smells, Michael. I don't know if you know
that. They do. Yeah. New York has a smell.
Yes. New York has got, like, the exhaust smell. You got the pizza, you know, kind of waffling in. Lots of food smells.
And trash, because they don't have the alleyway system, so all the trash gets piled.
A little bit of trash sniff you pick up in New York, Chicago. My memories of Chicago, you smell a lot of popcorn as you're walking down the street there.
True.
Good smells, the cold, brisk air. And St. Louis smells like motor oil. And that's, I mean, that's what I picked up. I got the window down. I'm sniffing away there. And not exhaust, because we don't have enough cars to produce that smell. But a lot of motor oil smell.
See, in downtown St. Louis. I think you're wrong about this.
Well, I just smelled it. I just smelled it maybe 30 minutes ago. I was smelling it, so you can't tell me I'm wrong about what I smelled.
Yeah, but like a week ago, I was smelling smoke in downtown St. Louis, and it was fire.
Well, there was coming a fire.
From Alabama, exactly. But
what?
No, I.
Whoa.
This smell.
A fire from Alabama? You were sniffing a fire from Alabama in St. Louis?
Yes. We had it earlier in the week. It was a big. Yeah, totally. There's these wildfires.
It's like Trump saying the election was stolen. There is no way you were smelling a fire from Alabama in the city of St. Louis. There's no way.
Yeah. Yes, we were. John, we've had these fires out west in California and stuff that have been pushed all across the Midwest, and then we smell them in St. Louis. Yeah, that happens. That's exactly what happened.
Let's look that up, PJ.
It's a true thing. But I find the cliche smell is being downtown. I have an office downtown. I lived downtown for 20 years.
All right, you have.
I smell the barley and the hops. I really do. When the wind is blowing a little bit northward, you can smell it coming from the brewery. But you are right. Cities do have a smell, and sometimes it's not a good smell. But I don't smell the, what'd you call it, pollution smell of St. Louis?
No, just oil, motor oil. It wasn't a bad smell, but it was just, you know, it smelled like motor oil.
What does motor oil smell like?
It smells like motor oil.
It's oil. I mean, how do you smell it? How do you smell it? You sniff motor oil?
You sniff, and you start sniffing, and it smells like motor oil. That's how it happens.
John, how would you even know what motor oil smells like? You wouldn't even know how to check your oil on your car.
Buddy, I have pulled into a Jiffy Lube or two over the course of my lifetime. I know what motor oil smells like.
You know what makes me nervous every time you go to one of those Jiffy Lubes?
Yeah.
They are like overly confident on waving you in, right? So here you are. You're about to drive your car onto some skis.
Yeah.
So that the guy below can change. And they're like waving at you like, hurry up, hurry up.
Oh,
hurry up,
they're very, go. Yes, yes. They're yes, very impatient.
And I'm sitting there thinking, buddy, if I mess up here, this thing's
my car.
Going in, yeah, and it's going into your basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't
you're
know why
right about that. I've never thought about that before, but they do. They're like impatient, waving you. It's not like, you know, when I go 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there's nobody else there. It's not like there's a line of cars, you know, waiting to bursting to get into the Jiffy Lube. No, I'm here. They open the door, you know, the door comes up, and then and then they start, you know, giving you the airport thing, and. Yeah, they're very impatient, and they act like you're an idiot.
Yeah,
you know, you don't know what you're doing. Right. Can you imagine somebody telling me I don't know what I'm doing behind the wheel of a car?
Yes, I would imagine that would be what would happen most of the time.
Well, that's
and
my
I
experience.
Would imagine when those guys come to the car, they've always got the air filters with them, you know. I guarantee you, every time they get you to buy the air filter.
No, 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 no. I've learned to say no because the guy that came at me the last time I got my oil. He came at me, Michael, with a differential fluid.
What's that?
That's exactly right. But I, you know what? I didn't let on that I had no idea what differential fluid was. I said, you know, I just got my differential fluid changed about 6 months ago. I think I'm okay. And then he comes at me with the flushing of the radiator. Right. And I said, you know, I just got that radiator flushed about a year ago. I think I'm okay on there. And they come at you, and they come at you, and they come at you. With, you know, so your oil change is, I don't know what it is, $69, whatever. Uh-huh. You know, if you let them, if you allow them, if you acquiesce to them, you'll walk out of there spending $400, $500, $600, $700. And I may or may not have done that once or twice, but never again. So differential.
Yeah.
Fluid.
Well, once you learn how to say no, you can put your foot down and tell them. Now, I really like them to say, "Hey, will you please put the blue juice in the car so that the windshield wipers, you know?"
Yes.
That is the nicest part.
So
the fresh windshield.
A month and a half ago. I bought a bucket of that blue juice, Michael. I was proud of myself. It was sitting there on the floor at the gas station. I said, you know, I'm running. I don't have any of that stuff. So I bought it, and I put it on the floorboard there, the passenger side, where it rolled around for about 6 weeks. Every time I made a right-hand turn or a left-hand turn, there was my bucket of blue juice rolling about the floor. And then I think it was last Friday we got in here. And it was a week ago Friday when all the snow was out there, and I drove in and my windshield wiper's broken. It's got a loose flap. I don't know what's happening. I got no juice in the car. And I said to my buddy, Michael, I said, do you know where this juice thing goes? We opened the hood. It took a minute.
It took us more than a minute, John. I mean, look, I was trying to act manly.
Yeah.
But the first thing we had to do was find the lever.
Yeah, there's a lever in the car. You know, it's over there. It's on the left-hand side somewhere.
And then once you pop it from on the inside,
you think you're done.
You got to go up front. And
yes.
Now you're searching for another lever.
Getting all kinds of gunk on your fingers. Which
listen, you're doing play-by-play of what I did. You didn't get anything on your fingers.
I was supervising.
And so I got it open.
Boom, the trunk, the hood pops up. And there it was, all kinds of stuff I didn't recognize, just sitting there in the engine of the car. There, you got the alternator over here, you got the transmission over there.
I didn't see any of that.
You got the belt of whatever that thing does over here, and but where does the juice go? It was there it was, Michael.
Well, fortunately, there were only like three things that had caps that you could screw off.
Yeah.
And this one had the little like
windshield wiper on it.
Yeah, the little squirt symbol. Thing you knew, like, okay, it was safe that this is the one.
And Michael
Kelly. We filled it up, and it was impressive.
Michael Kelly unscrewed that cap. He picked up my blue juice. He dumped about half a. Here's what I don't understand.
By the way, you have a small juice holder container, because it should take more than just a half a gallon of juice.
Well, it took a half a jug. And I'm thinking to myself, the same people are making these jugs of juice that are making hot dog buns. Because you've got, why do you sell a jug of juice that you know, it doesn't fill, I mean, it fills up your thing, you got a bunch of juice. What the heck do you do with the juice? That juice is going to last a long time.
Exactly.
And so now I got
longer
this.
Longer than you're going to need it, because we're about to go into the spring and you don't need windshield wipers.
And so now I've got a half a bottle of blue juice on the passenger floor of my car that still is rolling around every time I make a turn. It's horrible.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
This is problematic. It's extremely problematic. Well, how is the weather today in St. Louis?
It's lovely, buddy. Absolutely lovely. It was, what, 70-some degrees? How about,
are you kidding?
No. How about Jupiter?
Well, it was 70-something degrees.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that stinks, because whenever you're out of town, like
you
in
want
a place
the weather
warm,
to suck
yes.
back where you're from. Yeah,
you want the weather to be terrible. Yeah. Like, I was hoping that you were going to tell me, oh, my God, Kelly, we had a freeze last night. It went down into the 30s blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
No. Well, but give us a couple days, because I think it's going to snow here in a couple of days. So,
are you kidding?
No, it's St. Louis, man. You get all four seasons in a week here. But we do need to step aside, because there are some bills to pay, and we're going to come back. And when we come back,
Maria Kena, that's the expensive bill.
She's at 9:05 today. Our NFL insider is not joining us until next hour, but we do have our What's Trending later this hour. But when we come back, we're going to take you back to childhood memories right here on KMOX.
About to be a great night.
Feeling good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
For our late night gig, we're here all the way till 10 o'clock. Then you get, the Best of Glover and some other guy that comes on late at night. Have you listened to that show yet, John?
Yeah, buddy, I listen to everything here at the Voice of St. Louis, and that some other guy is named, what's his name, man?
Lee Habib.
Lee. Mm-hmm. I have not caught Lee's show yet, but I need it. Hey, listen, my bedtime's been getting earlier and earlier, dude. I mean, it's hard for me to make it all the way till 10 o'clock.
Well, I've noticed that. But somehow we do it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, listen, you were telling me the other day when we were talking to young Tula, I was talking as Donald Duck to young Tula.
Yeah, she loved it.
That you gave young Tula, your grandbaby, your doll from your childhood?
Yeah, well, so, you know, she likes to go on what she calls Yaya's bed, which is Yaya's, Georgian, my wife, is Yaya.
Right.
And it's Yaya's bed, as if somehow I don't have 50%
content. You sleep with
on
Gus.
Yeah, yeah. But so she wants to go on Yaya's bed, so we get up there, and we're, you know, and then she wants to watch a show. She's learning words as we go. So we're sitting on Yaya's bed, and she's got her little stuffed. She got little Lammy the lamb, and she's got little Dino the dinosaur.
Elmo.
Yeah. No. She does have Bluey. She's got a Bluey doll. And it dawns on me that in my closet, I've got, back when my mom passed away, we had to clean out, you know, the house. That's tough.
Yeah.
And in the process of that, I found Brownie Bear. and Brownie Bear, which I'm sure was not given to me. I'm sure it was passed down.
Nasty.
Of course,
right?
I'm the baby of the family. They didn't buy new toys for me.
See, that's the nice thing about being the only boy of five girls.
Yeah.
I didn't have too many
Brownie was, I'm pretty sure, a unisex bear.
Uh-huh.
And could have been my sisters, could have been my brothers, could have been my sisters and my brothers. But anyway,
what shape is Brownie in today?
Not great, and but not horrible either.
Has it ever been washed, like in the washing machine or anything like that?
Not in the last 50 years.
Oh, God.
So he's got his little checkered shirt on there, and his little tattered ears, and his nose is gone. And but I get up into the closet, and I pull down Brownie Bear, and I go over to Tula, and I said, Tula, this is Brownie. This is Papa's animal. And she takes Brownie, and she hugs him, and she loves Brownie Bear. So that's my 50. It's got to be.
Oh, my gosh. 60. And has she kept it?
No, Brownie stays at the house. He likes it in the closet there with Lindsey Graham. So he's staying at the house. But he'll pop out next time Tula is over.
So when you go over and your mom's passed, and that is a terrible time that you have to deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What was your thinking when you took the bear home? Did you think, oh, this will be something I get to my grandchild someday?
No.
Or this is a memory. For me, I don't know what to do.
Brownie was for me. Because I remember Brownie, man. He got me through some stuff, you know, back in the day.
Totally.
So, yeah, he's up there.
I had a DT. I had a blanket. You know, like a DT?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why I called it a DD.
Well,
a
that's
DT.
What you call stuff, what you call stuff.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, when my parents finally took it away from me, I was, 12, 13 years old. And so my mom had one of the neighbors that lived next door was a quilter.
Yeah.
And so she turned my, as a surprise, when I turned like 21, my blanket from when I was a kid into a bear.
Wow.
And so I have that bear now. I don't know what I'd do with it.
Well,
it's cute. It's cute. It's my little DD. It's my blanket. Hey, by the way, man, that is something to pull out when, you know, I have somebody over and I'm really wanting to have them connect with me. I'd say to them, hey, let me show you my bear. Yeah,
I wonder how many
blanket.
Wonder how many blondes have been exposed to DT over there.
Yeah. But it is kind of creepy that a grown man would have a little bear.
That's not creepy. It's part of
it. Is,
you know,
too.
You had a
come
blanket.
Come on, John. Where did you keep your bear? Huh? It's not like you had it on the front, display.
No,
there
Brownie's in there. He was behind my derby hat in the closet.
Exactly.
But you had a blankie. See, that's when you're living on the right side of the tracks. You know, we didn't have enough money for a blankie back when I was a kid. I had to sleep under a cardboard box.
Really? Well, that's interesting. You should bring that up because this blankie was an old drape from a Holiday Inn that had been abandoned in rural Missouri, and we snatched it one time, and I got to keep that as my blanket, and then that was before we got shoes.
I remember, man.
We couldn't. I had to get a bear under a box.
You just reminded me when Johnny was little, we left his blankie at a hotel in somewhere. And we got back. We got in the house. We're unpacking. And, you know, here's the clothes. Here's the dirty clothes. Here's your pants. Here's your shirts. Where's blankie? No blankie.
Oh, my.
Exactly. And young parents, so we're young parents, and he's maybe 18 months old or whatever. No blank, and we freaked out. And so we got the phone, we called the hotel, they found Blanky, and they mailed Blanky at our expense, of course, back to us. And so Johnny was reunited with Blanky. So there you have it.
That could have been a very tragic story. Like, was it a miserable couple of days? Like, was there temper tantrums over the law?
You know, he's a pretty resilient kid, as we've all come to learn over the course of these weeks. Our NFL insider, who's usually with us at this time, for those of you that make an appointment to listen now, my wife, my father-in-law, perhaps my sister.
My mom tunes in.
Oh, nice. Our NFL insider will be with us at 9:15 this evening. But after we come back, we're going to be joined with What's Trending, our weekly visit with Braxton Payne. That's next on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
And regular listeners of the Hancock and Kelly Late Night Show know when they hear the song King of Pain that we go to the Celebrity Guest Line to be joined by none other than the king himself. He is Braxton Payne. Good evening, Braxton. How are you, sir?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you both?
Doing fabulous, Brax. Doing fabulous. And we would be remiss, those of us who've tracked the process of your youngster, as throughout the show, we hit a huge milestone with young Gia this week, did we not?
Boom!
Yeah, so Gia's now one. We had her first birthday party yesterday. Big shout out to Dukes and Seward. is where we had it. We rented the upstairs room and
a 1 year old birthday party and a bar.
Well, to be fair, so she was born on Mardi Gras, on the day of the Mardi Gras parade last year. So we had an easy theme. So we did a Mardi Gras theme, and Dukes was kind enough to leave up all the decorations from Mardi Gras a couple weeks ago. So we didn't have to do much decorating, and Gia got to eat her first bit of sugar ever in her smash cake that she had, which she thoroughly enjoyed that. And Dad enjoyed some tequila club sodas. So we
have a win-win for all of them. Because let's be honest, we have a 1 year old birthday party. The 1 year old opened some presents. Everything looks the same. It's really all about the parents, isn't it? 1 year old?
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. And we asked specifically not for any gifts. People still brought some, but we just asked for donations into her college savings account.
Well, there you go.
You know, I paid, come eat some of the food and have a couple drinks for a couple hours, and that's what we can do.
So she ate the cake. She ate the cake.
She loved the cake, yes. And actually, I had a little bit of the leftovers today after dinner.
Yeah. Nice.
Maybe the second year birthday party can be at the racetrack on the east side. I'll come to that.
It's actually not the worst idea you've ever had.
What's what's trending out there, Braxton?
So there's a couple things. First, I wanted to give another little shout out to Fompon University. Their men's basketball team today, the selection show for Division III. They won their conference tournament, so they punched their ticket into an automatic bid to go to the NCAA, their version of March Madness, that will start Friday. So they will be playing at Trine University, which is a school in Indiana, on Friday night. So they finished first in their conference during the regular season and ended up winning the tournament at home on Saturday.
That's great.
So that's pretty exciting. And also, Webster University women, they won theirs, and so they will be going to March Madness. And that kind of brings me into my favorite time of the year, which we talked about a little bit last week. We're in this weird spot where there's not a lot of sports happening, but March Madness is coming up, and we will have many games on many televisions during the day. And I wanted to know, do you guys participate in a bracket each year, and how well do you do?
I know Michael does.
Yeah, I do. I do it in a couple of different places that I fill them out. Sometimes we've done it in the office before, Brax, but some of my friend groups have us do it. But we have to fill out both the men's and the women's bracket. So let's be honest. I mean, women's basketball is great. And, of course, we got the story of Caitlin Clark and all this great stuff that's going on. But not many folks necessarily know the powerhouse teams of women's basketball, so it kind of levels the playing field for people like me who don't follow the men's game that well, as I can kind of do a bunch of guessing, and I've won it twice out of like the 10 times I've played it.
I don't like brackets. I don't like them.
You don't like the paper bracket?
I mean, you got all these teams, what are they, 60, 70, whatever the teams they got 64. Out there. Well, now they got more because they're putting these guys in the play-in, and blah, blah, blah. And nobody's heard of these teams, you know? Southern Utah State, I couldn't tell you who's the center on the Southern U. And now you got to pick these games, you know, for what? You put $20 in that you're going to lose. And everybody's picking these silly teams to win these games, yeah. And then it comes down to the blah blah blah, and you got the final foot, all the hoopla, boopla, and I don't like it.
My favorite part though is like there's always teams in the conference, in the tournament that you've never heard of, and I like to guess where they're at, like you know Duquesne University, and then you're like, okay, sit around and. Everybody guesses like, oh, that's got to be Philadelphia. No, that's probably Milwaukee, you know, because there's always all these teams like a Lindenwood, you know, that of course we all know what Lindenwood is, but people in other places are like, where's Lindenwood?
Pretty sure Lindenwood's never been in the NCAA brackets.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Well, they could soon enough since they're Division I now. You never know. But my favorite story is I usually do a bracket every year, usually just a couple of friends, they'll send a link and I'll fill it out pretty quickly without any research.
Right.
the 1 year, I think it was 2019 that I won. It was about a group of, you know, 50, 60 people, because everyone sent it to like 10 friends and it was a $5 buy-in and you win it all. I ended up winning that. And how my strategy was is I went through the entire bracket and flipped a coin heads or tails. And that actually ended up, I won the entire thing by doing that.
Might as well. I mean, that's about all it is. I mean, you got all these teams out there. I don't like the brackets. I'm not for them. Don't like
it. You know what? You're a grump, man. What's going on with you, Hancock? Like, you're walking, you're getting old toys out of cardboard boxes, and now you won't do brackets?
I don't like brackets.
What do you think of one-year-old birthday parties? You okay with them?
Yeah, they're fine. You know, I mean, the poor kid's not going to remember it, but the parents will, and you got the videotape. Unless, of course, you film the one-year-old birthday party. And then one night you're running for Secretary of State and you take a flight to Lebanon, Missouri for the Laclede County Lincoln Day dinner, and you leave your garage door up and there's no car in the garage. And the criminals come in because your inside door to the garage is unlocked, and they come in and they steal your video camera that has your first child's first birthday on it. And then they do
the true story.
And then they do the indignity of going back into the bedroom and getting in the jewelry cabinet and rifling through. And you come home from that, Michael, and you realize that your house has been robbed. And the video of your son's first birthday has been confiscated. It's been stolen. And then they've gone to the jewelry cabinet. And my wife is saying, oh, no, they've stolen my mother's dinner bracelet. And I say to her, What about the ring I got you for Christmas? She said, "No, that's in here." They've stolen my grandmother's necklace. I said, "What about the cross necklace I got you when we were dating?" And, "No, that's in here." They robbed me and they insulted me at the same time.
Yeah, that is insulting.
So protect those videos, Braxton. That's the message I'm trying to deliver here.
Well, speaking of also, protective
remember,
fathers,
it's
one of the other things that's trending.
So videos get stored into the cloud. I think Pat Braxton's going to be just fine.
The cloud. Don't get me started on the cloud.
How many times a day do you have to reset your password,
John? I'm not going to go there. I'm in a good mood. I'm not in a good mood. Michael's in Florida. I'm sitting here. Now, I got PJ here, which is good. But
we got some great Florida type weather these past, and I want to give thanks to Punxsutawney Phil for bringing spring a little early, because it's solely in his hands, and I'm glad that he's bringing spring a little early to St. Louis. It was a beautiful, beautiful day today.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be nice, and then it's going to get cold again, which is typical, you know, of St. Louis weather. How's your volleyball team doing there, big boy?
So we're good. We played over the weekend. I believe you're very familiar with the school. We since the basketball team had to play at our school, we had to reschedule our game. And the lovely people at Westminster Christian Academy were gracious to host us on Saturday.
Did you win?
We did not. We lost in five.
Bad neighborhood.
We played best out of five. But it was a good game against a good NAIA school from Kentucky, I believe they're from. I'm not 100% sure.
So what are these guys? They take a bus up to St. Louis and stay in a hotel and then play volleyball?
Yeah, they take two vans. So they have their coaches have to drive these, you know, passenger vans, and that's how they get up here.
How do you guys travel?
We have a nice charter bus. So we have like, you know, one of those Cavallo mega buses type situations, the Husky buses, I believe, actually.
Well, can you like use it to go on like tailgating type bus? Like there's bunks in it and stuff?
So there's no bunks. It's just all like seats, but we have TV and a bathroom. So when we have to make a trip to Michigan in 3 weeks, that lovely 12-hour bus ride it won't be as bad as sitting in a passenger van.
Can you imagine being on a bus with 15 young men in a bathroom, Hancock?
Yeah, no.
There's rules nasty about those bathroom, gentlemen. There's only one type of bodily function that can happen in those bathrooms. You have to wait for the other one.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Braxton.
that would be important.
You know, so, wow. How many players do you have on a volleyball team?
So we have 15 players. We have three games this week. Yeah. We have a game on Tuesday against Maryville, coaches? Right down the street.
15?
Go ahead, say that again, John.
How many coaches?
There are three coaches and two graduate assistants.
So that's 5, 15. Now we're up to 20 people plus the bus driver. I'm guessing the cheerleaders don't show up to the volleyball games.
No cheerleaders. We don't. Those don't come to the volleyball games. They're basketball only at Fun Fun.
It happens. So
that's how it is at most schools, though. You know.
Well, yeah.
Besides, if you went to Incarnate Word Academy, the girls cheerleaders would do every game that I would ref there, and that was always interesting because they would have a little mid game dance that they would do.
So,
and they would cheer the whole time at Incarnate Word.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly, sponsored by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
And regular listeners of the Hancock and Kelly Late Night Show know when they hear the song King of Pain that we go to the Celebrity Guest Line to be joined by none other than the king himself. He is Braxton Payne. Good evening, Braxton. How are you, sir?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you both?
Doing fabulous, Brax. Doing fabulous. And we would be remiss, those of us who've tracked the process of your youngster as throughout the show. We hit a huge milestone with young Gia this week, did we not?
Boom!
Yeah, so Gia's now 1. We had her first birthday party yesterday. Big shout out to Duke's in Soulard, is where we had it. We rented the upstairs room and
a 1-year-old birthday party and a bar.
Well, to be fair, so she was born on Mardi Gras, on the day of the Mardi Gras parade last year. So we had an easy theme. So we did a Mardi Gras theme, and Dukes was kind enough to leave up all the decorations from Mardi Gras a couple weeks ago. So we didn't have to do much decorating, and Gia got to eat her first bit of sugar ever in her smash cake that she had, which she thoroughly enjoyed that, and Dad enjoyed some tequila club sodas. So we
have
a win-win for all
of them. Because let's be honest, we have a 1-year-old birthday party. The 1-year-old opened some presents. Everything looks the same. It's really all about the parents, isn't it, 1 year old?
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. And we asked specifically not for any gifts. People still brought some, but we just asked for donations into her college savings account.
Well, there you go.
You know, I paid, come eat some of the food and have a couple drinks for a couple hours, and that's what we can do.
So she ate the cake.
She loved the cake, yes. And actually, I had a little bit of the leftovers today after dinner.
Yeah. Nice.
Maybe the second year birthday party can be at the racetrack on the east side. I'll come to that.
It's actually not the worst idea you've ever had.
What's what's trending out there, Braxton?
So there's a couple things. First, I wanted to give another little shout out to Fompon University. Their men's basketball team today, the selection show for Division III. They won their conference tournament, so they punched their ticket into an automatic bid to go to the NCAA. Their version of March Madness that will start Friday. So they will be playing at Trine University, which is a school in Indiana, on Friday night. So they finished first in their conference during the regular season and ended up winning the tournament at home on Saturday.
That's great.
So that's pretty exciting. And also, Webster University women, they won theirs, and so they will be going to March Madness. And that kind of brings me into my favorite time of the year, which we talked about a little bit last week. We're in this weird spot where there's not a lot of sports happening. But March Madness is coming up, and we will have many games on many televisions during the day. And I wanted to know, do you guys participate in a bracket each year, and how well do you do?
I know Michael does.
Yeah, I do. I do it in a couple of different places that I fill them out. Sometimes we've done it in the office before, Brax, but some of my friend groups have us do it. But we have to fill out both the men's and the women's bracket. So let's be honest. I mean, women's basketball is great. And, of course, we got the story of Caitlin Clark and all this great stuff that's going on. But not many folks necessarily know the powerhouse teams of women's basketball. So it kind of levels the playing field for people like me who don't follow the men's game that well, as I can kind of do a bunch of guessing. And I've won it twice out of like the 10 times I've played it.
I don't like brackets. I don't like them.
You just don't like to do. Do you like the paper? You don't like the paper
brackets?
I don't like the whole idea.
I mean, you got all these teams. What are they? 60, 70, whatever the teams they got
64.
Out there. Well, now they got more because they're putting these guys in the play-in, and blah blah blah. And nobody's heard of these teams. You know, Southern Utah State. I couldn't tell you who's the center on the Southern U. And now you got to pick these games. You know, for what? You put $20 in that you're going to lose. And everybody's picking these silly teams to win these games, yeah. And then it comes down to the blah blah blah, and you got the final foot, all the hoopla, and I don't like it.
My favorite part though is like there's always teams in the tournament that you've never heard of, and I like to guess where they're at, like you know Duquesne University, and then you're like okay, sit around and. Everybody guesses like, oh, that's got to be Philadelphia. No, that's probably Milwaukee, you know, because there's always all these teams like a Lindenwood, you know, that of course we all know what Lindenwood is, but people in other places are like, where's Lindenwood?
Pretty sure Lindenwood's never been in the NCAA brackets.
That's probably right.
Well, they could tune it up since they're Division I now. You never know. But my favorite story is I usually do a bracket every year, usually just a couple of friends with, you know, they'll send a link and I'll fill it out pretty quickly without any research.
Right.
The one year, I think it was 2019 that I won, it was about a group of, you know, 50, 60 people because everyone sent it to like 10 friends and it was a $5 buy-in and you win it all. I ended up winning that. And how my strategy was is I went through the entire bracket and flipped a coin, heads or tails. And that actually ended up, I won the
might
entire
well.
Thing by
I
doing
might as
that.
Well. I mean, that's about all it is. I mean, you got all these teams out there. I don't like the brackets. I'm not for them. Don't like
it. You know what? You're a grump, man. What's going on with you, Hancock? Like, you're walking, you're getting old toys out of cardboard boxes, and now you won't do brackets?
I don't like brackets.
What do you think of one-year-old birthday parties? You okay with them?
Yeah, they're fine. The poor kid's not going to remember it, but the parents will, and you got the videotape. Unless, of course, you film the one-year-old birthday party. And then one night you're running for Secretary of State, and you take a flight to Lebanon, Missouri for the Laclede County Lincoln Day dinner, and you leave your garage door up. And there's no car in the garage. And the criminals come in because your inside door to the garage is unlocked. And they come in and they steal your video camera that has your first child's first birthday on it. And then they do
this a true story?
And then they do the indignity of going back into the bedroom and getting in the jewelry cabinet and rifling through. And you come home from that, Michael, and you realize that your house has been robbed. And the video of your son's first birthday has been confiscated. It's been stolen. And then they've gone to the jewelry cabinet, and my wife is saying, oh, no, they've stolen my mother's dinner bracelet. And I say to her, what about the ring I got you for Christmas? She said, no, that's in here. they've stolen my grandmother's necklace. I said, oh. I said, what about the cross necklace I got you when we were dating? And no, that's in here. They robbed me, and they insulted me at the same time.
Yeah, that is insulting.
So protect those videos, Braxton. That's the message I'm trying to deliver here.
Well, speaking of protective fathers,
it's
one of the other things that's trending.
So videos get stored into the cloud. I think Braxton's going to be just fine.
The cloud. Don't get me started on the cloud. What else is
How
trending?
How many times a day do you have to reset your password,
John? I'm not gonna go there. I'm in a good mood. I'm not in a good mood. Michael's in Florida. I'm sitting here. Now I got PJ here, which is good. But
we got some great Florida type weather these past, and I want to give thanks to Plexitani Phil for bringing spring a little early because it's solely in his hands, and I'm glad that he he's bringing spring a little early to St. Louis. It was a beautiful, beautiful day today.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be nice, and then it's going to get cold again, which is typical, you know, of St. Louis weather. How's your volleyball team doing there, big boy?
So we're good. We played over the weekend. I believe you're very familiar with the school. We since the basketball team had to play at our school, we had to reschedule our game. And lovely, the lovely people at Westminster Christian Academy were gracious to host us on Saturday.
Did you win?
We did not. We lost in five.
Bad neighborhood.
We played best out of five. But it was a good game against a good NAIA school from Kentucky, I believe they're from. I'm not 100% sure.
So what are these guys? They take a bus up to St. Louis and stay in a hotel and then play volleyball?
Yeah, they take two vans. So they have their coaches have to drive these, you know, passenger vans, and that's how they get up here.
How do you guys travel?
We have a nice charter bus. So we have one of those Cavallo mega buses type situations, the Husky buses, I believe, actually.
Use it to go on like tailgating type bus? Like there's bunks in it and stuff?
So there's no bunks. It's just all like seats, but we have TV and a bathroom. So when we have to make a trip to Michigan in 3 weeks, that lovely 12-hour bus ride, it won't be as bad as sitting in a passenger van.
Can you imagine being on a bus with 15 young men in a bathroom, Hancock?
Yeah, no.
There's rules nasty about those bathrooms, gentlemen. There's only one type of bodily function that can happen in those bathrooms. You have to wait for the other one.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Braxton.
that would be important.
You know, so, wow. How many players do you have on a volleyball team?
So we have 15 players. We have three games this week. Yeah. We have a game on Tuesday against Maryville,
coaches?
Right down the street.
15?
Go ahead, say that again, John.
How many coaches?
There are three coaches and two graduate assistants.
So that's 5, 15. Now we're up to 20 people plus the bus driver. I'm guessing the cheerleaders don't show up to the volleyball games.
No cheerleaders. We don't. Those don't come to the volleyball games. They're basketball only at Fun Fun.
It happens. So
that's how it is at most schools, though, you know.
Well, yeah.
Besides, if you went to Incarnate Word Academy, the girls cheerleaders would do every game that I would ref there, and that was always interesting because they would have a little mid-game dance that they would do.
So,
and they would cheer the whole time at Incarnate Word.
Did you play volleyball in high school?
I did. I started playing my freshman year and loved it, and then so I started to play club volleyball and all that other stuff as well.
And you're pretty good, I take it, right? You're the assistant coach on the team there. You got to be pretty good.
I mean, I have a great volleyball mind. You know, sometimes my skill wasn't there too as much as some of these kids, but I was pretty good. I mean, I win the alumni game every year, so if that tells you anything.
Well, something.
I still got it at 33.
Can you believe that? 33 years old. My word.
33. Yeah. What was I doing?
I think it's time to put the King of Pain into some pain, into a headlock, and move on.
You just go and kiss that one-year-old. She's probably already in bed at 8:47 in the evening. But, Brax, thanks so much.
You guys didn't hear her screaming because she just woke up. So I'm going to go put her back down.
Probably heard you talking about the volleyball bus in the bathroom.
Can you imagine how nasty that must be?
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. We will visit with you again next week, Braxton Payne. When we come back, Michael Kelly has got a keen observation about awards shows. That's next on Hancock and Kelly Late Night here on KMOX.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Hey there, hey there, hey there. Welcome back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly. Hey, brother, did you see Sunday night the SAG-AFTRA Awards took place?
I did not. Well, I heard they took place. I didn't watch them. What channel were they on?
We're both SAG-AFTRA members, so only did we have the opportunity to watch the program, but we had an opportunity to vote in it. Did you vote?
I didn't vote.
Well, then you can't complain about whatever I'm about to talk about, because if you don't vote, you've given up your right to, you know, complain.
Nobody sent me a ballot. How are you supposed to vote if you don't get the ballot?
Are you paying the dues to the union?
Yes, much to my chagrin.
They send you the emails. They send you all the information emails that tells you this. But
I don't get emails.
It was the first award show, you know, and I guess it's considered to be one of the major award shows. Probably not. But what's the Oscars?
Well, they say this is the precursor to the Oscars. This is sort of predicting what the Oscars are going to do. That's what they say.
And so they did it on Netflix. So if you have Netflix at home, you can still go watch it. It's like watching a live television show, but they aired them for the first time live on a streaming service. So it was different than if it was on ABC or CBS. And so I went and watched it, and I watched it delayed. But, you know, John, it's a completely different show. I mean, you know, you have the biggest stars in Hollywood up there, and they're talking just like the guys are talking on a football field. I mean, they were using some really crude language and stuff. So it was kind of a really interesting award show.
So they're up there
people
cursing and stuff on the stage of the SAG after awards?
Exactly. They were, you know, hollering out bad words. And so I guess it was somewhat entertaining, but at the same time, it was a little bit annoying because
If I want to listen to somebody cuss up a blue streak, I'll go play snooker with Michael Kelly. I don't need to watch the SAG After Awards. You know.
Well, I'm glad you brought up your snooker game because here's the reality. Now, you know, we're coming up on a sensitive time for you. It's going to be your 60th birthday and all. I'm happy to honor you and humor you, but you're getting less and less fun to play with because your game is continuing to progress, and mine is like not only not progressing, it may in fact be regressing.
Oh, no, you're playing better. I'm telling you, you're playing better.
I'm not even able to get 25% of the points you are now.
Oh no,
when we're playing with each other, and I don't even know how that's entertaining for you.
Well, it's very entertaining. Who won the Best Picture Award the other night on the SAG AFTRA Awards?
Oh, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer won everything, brother.
Really?
Yeah, Oppenheimer, and the guy who played Oppenheimer won. And,
director?
Oppenheimer. Did you watch it?
No. I heard it was long. Yeah,
it is. I watched it.
What's it about?
To be honest with you. It's about the bomb. It's about the bomb. And
it's about Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. I fell asleep. You know, it was just... Whatever. I liked Barbie.
Barbie.
Best movie I saw this year.
Barbie. You liked Barbie?
Did you see Barbie?
My wife saw Barbie. It's enough. Barbie was no good.
No, I didn't mind it. I liked it. But I'll tell you, the best movie I saw was The Holdovers with Paul Giamatti.
Oh, great actor.
It was fabulous.
Great actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor. Yeah.
You know, his brother was the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Giamatti.
Is that his brother or his dad?
His dad, whatever. I'm close. I'm often wrong, but never in doubt, Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock.
No doubt about that.
And we've got news coming your way in just a little bit. Our NFL Insider next hour as well. The Combines are coming next week. That'll be interesting. And a great song from Matt Pajeski right there. Whoa, listen to that. The Ronnie O'Sullivan theme. Maria Kina next on KMOX.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Hey there. Welcome back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly. Hey, brother, did you see Sunday night the SAG-AFTRA Awards took place?
I did not. Well, I heard they took place. I didn't watch them. What channel were they on?
We're both SAG-AFTRA members, so only did we have the opportunity to watch the program, but we had an opportunity to vote in it. Did you vote?
I didn't vote.
Well, then you can't complain about whatever I'm about to talk about, because if you don't vote, you've given up your right to, you know, complain.
Nobody sent me a ballot. How are you supposed to vote if you don't get the ballot?
Are you paying the dues to the union?
Yes. Much to my chagrin.
They send you the emails. They send you all the information that tells you this. But
I don't get emails.
It was the first award show, you know, and I guess it's considered to be one of the major award shows. Probably not. What's the Oscars?
Well, they say this is the precursor to the Oscars. This is sort of predicting what the Oscars are going to do. That's what they say.
Right. And so they did it on Netflix. So if you have Netflix at home, you can still go watch it. It's like watching a live television show, but they aired them for the first time live on a streaming service. So it was different than if it was on ABC or CBS. And so I went and watched it, and I watched it delayed. But, you know, John, it's a completely different show. I mean, you know, you have the biggest stars in Hollywood up there, and they're talking just like the guys are talking on a football field. I mean, they were using some really crude language and stuff. So it was kind of a really interesting award show.
So they're up there
people.
Cursing and stuff on the stage of the SAG-AFTRA Awards?
Exactly. Exactly. They were, you know, hollering out bad words. And so I guess it was somewhat entertaining, but at the same time, it was a little bit annoying because, I don't know, it just...
If I want to listen to somebody cuss up a blue streak, I'll go play snooker with Michael Kelly. I don't need to watch the SAG-AFTRA Awards. You know,
well, I'm glad you brought up your snooker game because here's the reality. Now, you know, we're coming up on a sensitive time for you. It's going to be your 60th birthday and all. So, I'm happy to honor you and humor you, but you're getting less and less fun to play with your game is continuing to progress, and mine is like not only not progressing, it may in fact be regressing.
Oh, no, you're playing better. I'm telling you, you're playing better.
I'm not even able to get 25% of the points you are now.
Oh no,
when we're playing with each other, and I don't even know how that's entertaining for you.
Well, it's very entertaining. Who won the Best Picture Award the other night on the SAG-AFTRA Awards?
Oh, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer won everything, brother.
Really?
Yeah, Oppenheimer, and the guy who played Oppenheimer won. And,
yeah. Director?
Oppenheimer. Did you watch it?
No. I heard it was long.
Yeah. It is. I watched it.
What's it about?
To be honest with you. It's about the bomb. It's about the bomb. And
it's about Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. I fell asleep. You know, it was just... Whatever. I liked Barbie.
Barbie.
Best movie I saw this year.
Barbie. You liked Barbie?
Did you see Barbie?
My wife saw Barbie. It's enough. Barbie was no good.
No, I didn't mind it. I liked it. But I'll tell you, the best Barbie. Movie I saw was The Holdovers with Paul Giamatti.
Oh, great actor.
It was fabulous.
Great actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor. Yeah.
You know, his brother was the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Giamatti.
Is that his brother or his dad?
His dad, whatever. I'm close. I'm often wrong, but never in doubt, Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock.
No doubt about that.
And we've got news coming your way in just a little bit. Our NFL Insider next hour as well. The Combines are coming next week. That'll be interesting. And a great song from Matt Pajeski right there. Whoa, listen to that. The Ronnie O'Sullivan theme. Maria Kina next on KMOX.